He's a tough act to follow, but there's only one person who could follow an act like that, and that is number 41. 7 years with the San Francisco Giants. He has postseason numbers that are just unbelievable, and we all know it. A favorite, and he's in town, and that is Jeremy Affeldt. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great. So you're in town. You had an appearance at the new Xfinity store on Geary. How was that today?
You know, it was great. You know, I think the staff was pleasant to work with, and it was easy, and it was fun, and I was happy to come down and do it. I was just kind of not that far out of the area, and I was on a flight back from Nashville. I spoke at a leadership luncheon conference in Nashville, and I said, well, I could either, you know, it's a long flight either way, to get back to home or San Fran, and my wife was allowed me to come into San Fran and make this appearance, and I'm glad I did. It was a fun time.
Oh, beautiful. We love having you here. Now, coming up, and it's coming up June 26th, before you know it, boy, this season is going fast. It's the third annual Charity Bash, and it benefits Generation Alive, which is, of course, for you. It's set for Sunday, January 26th, at 21st Amendment, again, Brewery. Lots of Giants players will be there. For me, I'm on the air at that time, but Kathy Jacobson's trying to get KMBR maybe to get me out there and do the show from there. Tickets are limited, and go to generationalive.org/charitybash. Jeremy, tell us about it again. It's always fun to have you on to talk about it.
You know, it's a good time. You know, we have a fun time with the players. The players have come out the last couple of years and just had a really good time with the fans. And they do the celebrity bartending stuff, so they get to hang out with fans. They get to serve them some adult beverages there and laugh. And I think the fans have a good time laughing with the players. And we raise some good money. We do a lot of good things with it. So we're doing a lot of good stuff with the youth culture and helping them understand poverty and the pains of poverty and how they can help eliminate those pains through acts of service and using compassion. I've just been impressed about how the community has surrounded us in this event. 21st Amendment's been amazing. We have a new fun thing coming up, and I don't want the cat out of the bag, but we got a new beverage coming out while everybody's there, and I'm going to help make it. So I'm pretty pumped for that, and we're going to have a lot of good things going on. I'm really excited. I might even have some Navy SEALs show up from the SEAL Foundation and make them do some bartending as well, so we could have a good time, and I'm really pumped for it.
All right, that's Sunday, June 26th at 21st Amendment Brewery, and that is the third annual. How do you like being retired? It sounds like you're not retired. It sounds like you're busier than ever.
Yeah, I'm busy, man. I tell you what, raising boys is a busy deal, and then doing all the stuff with public speaking, and I'm doing a lot of that and enjoying, you know, just sharing my journey a little bit and the leadership concepts I've learned through baseball and applying it to life, and then with Comcast pre and post game and the Giants and all that stuff, it's definitely keeping me busy. I'm actually enjoying that. I'm kind of a busy guy. I like to stay busy. I don't like to sit around and do nothing. So I'm pretty excited that I get to bounce around and I get to still be a part of baseball again that I was grew to obviously love, and it's a big part of my life. So I'm glad I get to be a part of it in a good way.
All right. Now, you're not on the DL. Nothing's happened since you've been retired. Everything's okay?
Yeah, I've upgraded too. You know, I've upgraded to chainsaws instead of steak knives, and I'm scuba diving with oxygen tanks, and I'm doing a lot of fun stuff, and nothing seems to be happening. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that, and we'll see what happens. But I've been enjoying just different experiences that I haven't been able to do in a long time.
All right, Jeremy Affeldt with us. As I say, just look at the postseason numbers, as I did a little while ago, just to refresh my memory. Unbelievable. Jeremy, Casilla had a little bit of a meltdown the other day with Bochy. You're part of that bullpen out there. You know him. You know how excited he can be and, you know, takes things very seriously. What was your take on what happened on the mound?
Well, he's emotional. You know, I think he does take his job seriously, and I think he wants to do the best he can do. And I think that, you know, sometimes I even got that way at times when I got taken out of a game. I got kind of frustrated because I didn't feel like I should have, right? You know, sometimes we trust ourselves quite a bit to go out there and do our job. But you know, one thing I learned with Boach is you got to trust him as well. And he does a really good job, in my opinion, at putting you in positions where you're always going to succeed. And he doesn't necessarily want you to fail, and he doesn't want the team to fail. And one thing that he's done really good job of is he's not afraid to flip the script on you. And you saw it in Game 7 where he brought in the World Series, where he brought the bullpen in early to bring Bum in late, and he almost like pitched backwards, right? He kind of went with the release early, and then he started a starter late in the game, knowing that the team didn't want to face him. And he did figure out a way to win, and he didn't go with what everybody thought they should, that he should do. He didn't follow the script that sort of say on how to do a baseball game. And I don't think he's ever done that. I don't think he's ever been afraid to even pull his closer right there if he sees a matchup he doesn't like. And instead of like, hey, you know what, you know, we'll flip the coin, he's going to go, you know what, I have a better bet here to do this. And it's not going to happen all the time. And Casilla's going to get the majority of the saves as long as he's doing his job. But tonight I'm not willing to let him fail. And I'm not willing to, you know, I'm going to go statistical, you know, a statistical change. And I'm going to roll the dice on that. It worked. And reality it was, is you won the ball game. And some guys are going to get frustrated. Some guys are get caught up in the moment. Casilla will get caught up in the moment. He's done it his whole career. He gets excited. He gets mad at himself sometimes, and it's what makes him who he is. And I'm sure that they handled that in-house a little bit, and they got taken care of.
You've relieved for so many years. When I first met you, of course, you were a starter for Kansas City. I remember when I first saw you. Manager tell you that stuff ahead of time? In other words, Jeremy, listen, and you would get lefties and righties out. That was a big plus of what you could do. Say, well, look, tonight we're just going to leave you in against lefties. If a righty's coming up, we're going to get you. Is that something they tell you ahead of time?
Not necessarily. I think you just kind of understand the role. And I think the longer you play, especially under one manager, you kind of get the feel. I think Boach, you know, even with me, it was lefty, righty, lefty. But if there was three righties in a row, probably not. That's Romo, right? So, like, that's going to be his role. But if there was a situation where maybe you're a pinch hitter where you're bringing a right-hander cold off the bench, he didn't really care. He was like, whatever, I'm going to bring Jeremy in to get the lefty for him to burn another player off the bench. It's a right-hander, but he can get right-handers out. But I'm going to use it for strategy for him to burn a guy. And then there's switch hitters. I'd rather a hitter hit from the right side than the left side. So I'll bring Jeremy in to do that. But if there was like three, you know, big-time righties coming up, that was usually what Romo would come in for, you know. And I think he kind of played it like that. You kind of knew that with Casilla. It's happened before. And I think that's probably what they talked about with Casilla. Last year and the year before, there was a lot of times where he had one-out saves or two-out saves. And he used Javi or myself or Osich to come in and get a lefty out and then bring Casilla in. I mean, he did that a lot. And it was just a situation right there where it was a little different. He got himself in a little bit of trouble. I think Boach was seeing them hit his breaking ball a little bit, or he was leaving balls too hittable, and they're hitting balls up the middle. When you see that as a manager, you're like, hold on a second. It's not like it was a cheap hit there, a cheap hit there, a cheap hit here, a bloop. It was like two pretty hard hit balls. You know, he was erratic with, I know he was trying to probably pitch around Goldschmidt a little bit, not letting him beat you, but he was a little erratic in his pitch around. It wasn't like, you know, he was way outside, you know, and I think when it's, as a manager, if he's looking at that, you know what, he just doesn't have it today, and it's okay. And look what he saw. He put him in yesterday. He punched two guys out on really good breaking balls. And it just, you're not always going to have your day, and it's up to the manager to say, you know what, I don't want you to just say I didn't have my stuff, and then you get beat. How about I pull you, we win a ball game, I put you in tomorrow, and we win another ball game. You know, and that's what Boach does, and I think it's great. I'm glad that he can do that and do that with confidence.
All right, Jeremy Affeld with us. Very good analysis, Jeremy. Of course, 774 major league games for Jeremy. Jeremy, Peavy tonight, and you know him well. Kane tomorrow. I know you've been on Comcast when they've pitched. Well, what's your take on Peavy so far?
Well, I think he's just, I think he's just missing over the plate a little too much. I think he knows that. He said that in the media. He's come out. I mean, there's no secret. He's a big boy in this game, and he understands that with his stuff not being like what it used to be, he can't miss over the white part of the plate a whole lot. He's got to miss. He's got to hit the corners a little bit more. He's got to maybe try to get guys to fish. He maybe has to, you know, if he's going to cover more white on the plate than he's supposed to, he's got to make sure he's got to be down to get maybe more of some low contact and hopefully a ground ball or some singles rather than doubles and homers when you're up in the zone. And yeah, I think that that's what he's just trying to figure out. And he started off slow last year, obviously ended pretty good. So I think that's what they're hoping for. And I think he's a competitor. We all see him, you know, yelling at himself out there and getting mad and competing, and sometimes it's very frustrating. You know, I felt that a little bit last year myself, where when your body and your ball's just not doing what you expect it to do, and you're trying hard to do it, and you don't understand why that is. And I think he's trying to figure that out. I think Matty, to be honest with you, I know what his numbers are, but if anybody can see past the numbers and understand, like, he's been one pitch away from having really good year games every time, or he's had no hitters through four and five unravels, or, you know, just that two out RBIs have killed him this year, where he's right there at the end, two out, two strike RBIs even, you know, and guys scored. So he's always, to me, that one pitch, that one, you know, finish off the hitter type pitch that he needed to gain, and I think he got it last game. You saw it. He went eight innings. And mm-hmm. and for me, he's had his outings this year where he could have actually gone eight innings several times if it didn't unravel. It wasn't like – it was always the one inning that costed him, you know. Like, and for me, that's very frustrating as a pitcher. And he knows it. He knows that he just needs to clean that up. And I thought he did a great job last game. I'm looking forward to seeing him take off a little bit, because I think his stuff is there. I don't think it has anything to do with his stuff. It might be the execution of the stuff, and he knew it, and he knows that he's got to maybe bear down and focus a little bit more on that one pitch that he needs to make, and he made it last game. I thought he did great last game. I was excited for him, and I'm hoping this kind of jump starts him a little bit to gain some confidence to get going. Because then if you got four starters that can give you seven, eight innings, I mean, that's a pretty good rotation, and what those top three guys are doing are pretty awesome.
Yeah, the last eight games by the starting pitching, and that includes Kane's game that you referred to, and also Peavy's game against Toronto, 2.02 earned run average, and they're over six innings a game. How do you like Samardzija last night and the strength this guy has?
Well, I think that's what's impressive for me. Is we always knew he's a big guy, right? And we always knew he had some velocity, and I think he just had a weird year last year with, you know, lack of defense, and who knows, maybe he's trying too hard because he didn't feel like the defense was behind him. He tried too much. Now I think he's seeing the kind of defense that a good team, when a good team has good defense, you actually relax a little bit and you pound the zone. And you're throwing a little bit more confidence, and you're a little bit more aggressive in that strike zone when you know that, hey, look, if I get contact, I got a good chance with this defense of them making plays. And what that is allowing him to do now is go deeper in games. He's getting probably more punch-outs than he did on average last year in games. He's throwing at 97 because he's not feeling for anything now. Now he's relaxing, and his body's relaxing, and he's letting it go. And you see that when guys start to get tight, they throw slower. And when they can relax and be like, you know what, I'm confident in what I've got. I'm going to challenge guys. I've got great movement. He can be aggressive. And I've seen that the last few games. I've seen almost like what Verlander gets like, where it's like he starts out 93, 94, and by the time the seventh, eighth inning rolls around, he's pumping 97, 98. And when you have a starter that can do that, that's not a comfortable feeling for a hitter when the guy's warming up at 93, 94, and by the time when he starts to smell blood, all of a sudden 97, 98 with that same movement coming at you and breaking balls, that's why he's been sealing up that sixth, seventh, eighth inning pretty good, because he's able to kind of gain speed, and to have a horse like that, that's pretty fun to have.
Yeah, fun. All right, Jeremy, a couple of last thoughts for you. Pitching in Arizona, not a forgiving place. You better keep the ball down, because, man, that ball travels there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's – but you know what? The ball moves in that stadium more than it does in spring training, because it
really
is climate controlled. Because it's climate controlled a little bit, because they do have some AC on, you know, because it is a dome. When you're outside like that in that open air, it doesn't want to move, but you're seeing some pretty good movement. And I always felt like I had decent movement there too. If you finish the pitch, right, you know, in spring training, you could finish a pitch and it's still straight as an arrow, but in there, because I think there is some, a little bit of climate, because it's, you know, it's 100 degrees outside. That stadium's not 100 degrees. That stadium's 72, 73. Mm-hmm. So there is some, I feel like, some different, you know, moisture created other than being outside. And the area's a little bit different, but it still flies the same. And you leave a ball up, and if they hit a ball in the air, there's a good chance that ball's not coming down. It flies pretty good. And I think that you see that. You see that ball carry a little bit. being there because it is a little drier in the air isn't, you know, it still is dry. I just feel like you can still get good movement on your pitches a little bit better. But it does, man. When they lift that ball, it's going to go.
Well, interesting. Cueto, I think you would have enjoyed having Cueto as a teammate. You know that?
I had him as a teammate.
Did you have him in Cincinnati? Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, he actually took my job. I actually was asked to go in there and try to start, and this kid came in, and after about four of my hellacious looking spring training starts, you know, and him coming in throwing 95 and zeros, they're like, hey, you know what? We're gonna probably put you in the pen. We're gonna let this kid try his hand, and I think they made a good decision. That guy's pretty smart.
Funny. All right. Third annual Charity Bash benefits Generation Alive, set for Sunday, June 26th at the 21st Amendment Brewery. Lots of Giant players will be in attendance. Tickets are limited, so go to generationalive.org/charitybash. Jeremy, thanks for having you on. I love talking baseball with you. I miss you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, good seeing you. I'll be in, I think I fly in Thursday for about a week, so I'll be around the ballpark. And
terrific.
Hanging out on the TV set for a week or so.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. Have a good afternoon.
All right, guys.
Okay, Jeremy Affeldt. Boy, a pleasure having him on. I miss him around the park. He knows the game. You know, this is not a, he's a glib guy. He's funny. But when he talks, Raf, this guy knows the game. I bet he's a big hit on TV.